Good morning and a very warm welcome to this morning's service, which from my perspective is a delight to be here for the first time leading in person, which is very exciting and a delight to be here to worship the Lord together. And good morning to everybody who's with us online. You are very welcome as well, and it's a delight to be together. Today we're going to continue our series looking at Philippians, and we're going to be looking at Keep On Guarding Your Hearts, which Jackie is going to come and teach later. Now, I don't know if any of you are familiar with Eugene Peterson, but he's a pastor, theologian and writer, an American, and I'm a great fan of his writing. And he said this about worship: worship is the strategy by which we interrupt our preoccupations with ourselves and attend to the presence of God. Worship, us gathering here today, is a strategy by which we interrupt our self-focus, our self-indulgence, where we're wrapped up in our own lives and attend to the presence of God. I love that. I think that's just a wonderful reminder of the many reasons of why we gather today. And so I want to encourage each and every one of you. I don't know what sort of week you've had, whether it's been a difficult one, a challenging one, or whether it's been one of great joy. But this is a moment where we refocus and remember what an extraordinary, sovereign, loving, saving God we worship. So can I invite you to stand? And I'd love us to say a few verses from Psalm 9. And in the normal way, I'll say what's in yellow and you say what's in white. So let us say this together. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek. We come from scattered lives to meet with God. Let us recognize his presence with us. Just in a moment of silence, let us set aside the things that preoccupy us with ourselves. As God's people, we have gathered, so let us worship him together. I invite you to sit, and I'm going to listen to a worship song now, whose lyrics and words just remind us of who we worship and why we worship the God that we do. And though we can't sing together, there are so many other ways in which we can worship with the music and within the words. And I want to encourage you, whether you want to speak the words out as they come up on screen, whether you perhaps want to hand out, open up your hands or open up your hands in front of you. Perhaps some of you might want to kneel. There are many ways in which we can use our bodies to worship our God. So let us give him praise.
Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on the that cursed tree. His body bowed and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh Lord our God. And on the third,
praise His name. What a joyous day. One of these days we'll be back singing that at the height of our voices. But it's a wonderful reminder as who and why we worship our God. So can again, I invite you to stand. And in that context of remembering why sometimes we get preoccupied with ourselves, let's come to the Lord in confession. Remember that we've all fallen short of the glory of God this week, and there's no condemnation, but we can be reconciled with Him through a confession. So let us, can I invite you to stand if you'd like to, and let us say the confession together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against You and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, for the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant us serve You in the newness of life to the glory of Your name. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us. Pardon and forgive us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you'd like to sit, Trish is now going to come and read from Philippians.
The reading is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to 9. Exhortations. I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Let us just commend this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, open our hearts to hear your voice through the reading that Tris brought us, through these words, but also through the inspiration of your Spirit in our hearts. Amen. So, today's subject, keep guarding your hearts. Well, I don't know about you. I don't know how you've coped during lockdown, what you feel you've lost as a result of this unusual time. I have to admit to having an odd mixture of emotions throughout. The things I thought I'd miss, strangely, I haven't. Yet other things I have, such as people, conversation, and the easy company of fellow human beings. And now we are, allegedly, coming out the other side. I'm finding conversations tricky. So apologies to anybody who I upset in the next few months. I seem to have forgotten how to read body language and how to interact with people and, in some cases, how to get along with them. Today's reading starts with Paul's request to one of his fellow workers to help two women work through their differences. We aren't told what those differences are, but they're clearly having an effect on the fledgling church. And that detrimental effect is clearly bearing on Paul's mind, because he knows what this new church is going to be facing in the coming days, weeks, months, perhaps years. He knows that the Roman state machine, which controlled every aspect of the empire's life, wouldn't take this religion lying down. Persecution would be inevitable, because the basic tenets of Christianity flew in the face of Rome. To survive such things, the church would have to pull together, work together, and present Christ to the observers who'd watch the state's persecution and perhaps for their own safety, even take part in it. It's very easy, at the best of times, to focus on what separates us. There are many, many isms. That's where they come from. Different skin tone and culture, racism. Different sex, sexism. And believe it or not, different dress sizes, sizeism. Yes, you may smile, but for some of us it's a real thing. We don't seem to be very keen on getting along with one another. In fact, we seem to be much more keen on being better than other people. Some fear perhaps what they don't know or what they don't understand. Some believe outdated beliefs about their fellow human beings. Some of us know what we're doing, and because of that can make allowances and correct it. But for others, it's a good old case of unconscious bias. But since we humans share 99.9% of our DNA, it seems to me somewhat silly and pointless. More to do with shoring up our fragile egos, I reckon, than working for the kingdom and for justice. But Paul wants the Philippians to concentrate on what unites them, not what divides. He calls for them all to rejoice, because he knows that Christian joy is not dependent on earthly things. It's not a reaction to being happy, but it has its source in the constant presence of Christ. And that knowledge, or is it awareness, needs guarding. More importantly, perhaps, we need reminding of it. He goes on, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." That word, translated here as gentleness, is thought by many translators to be untranslatable into English, which I reckon is just a cop-out, but it could also not be very helpful. One commentator suggested it means one person meeting another one halfway. Yet another elaborated on this by saying that when justice becomes injustice due to the strict application and generality, then this gentleness should come into action. We need to learn when to relax justice and introduce mercy, grace. God did. God is all about mercy and grace. At times, a strict creedal rulebook cannot be the last word. Justice is human. This gentleness is divine. Our behaviour should model it in all situations. So Paul continues addressing the church in verses 6 and 7. Don't be anxious. Present your requests to God by prayer and petition, and then the peace of God will guard your hearts and mind. The peace of God, which is divine, a bit of a mystery and cannot be grasped. That's what guards our hearts and minds. Note, we don't do the guarding. We can become aware when our peace is disturbed, but we're not there doing the guarding. That's God's job. We are to become aware of what disturbs God's peace residing within us and offer them those things to God, whether it be an action or a person, a situation. And having given it to God, and allowing him to teach us about it and about ourselves, we allow his peace to reign and guard once again. So you might be thinking, well, if we can't order it and we can't demand it and we certainly can't manufacture it, how on earth are we going to receive it? And Paul tells us, by prayer. Because prayer allows our faith to grow. Because spending time with God helps us grow in the love and trust of God. Being human is enough to make anyone anxious. Even in the best of times, this mortal life is fragile and vulnerable to the tide of change and chances which head our way. But Paul, who certainly had to contend with his own tides of change through life, assures us, as a result of his experiences, that prayer is the answer. And yet it seems so hard. How do we know he's listening? Now, any parent worth their salt will listen and care for their child, and that is the same with God. He's interested in what interests us. He's concerned about what concerns us. We can pray for ourselves, for others, the past, the present, and the future. We can commend memories to him, our heartaches, our anger, our frustrations, our impatience. We can just sit with him and let him gaze upon us and love us. When we're all prayed out, it's still prayer. And at that point, when we stop, he'll gently continue his work within us, mending, healing, making us whole, and depositing his peace. And at all times, thanksgiving. We need to remember we are suspended at all times between past blessings and future blessings. We are suspended in the midst of our present blessings. And strangely, despite these unprecedented times, there have been blessings in lockdown. People who suffer crippling anxiety, or at least some people who suffer crippling anxiety, have reported an easing of symptoms. Parents, and again, some parents are enjoying being family with their children. There's been lots of walking going on, so I suppose the orthopaedic surgeons are looking forward to lots of knee replacements in the next few years. And I've seen barn owls for the first time in my life flying over the old railway line. That was a moment that I won't forget in a long time. Prayer leads to peace. Not just through gratitude, but by submission of our desires, our will, to God's will. Indeed, he is constantly working all things together for the good of those who love him. We have to love him to see and trust in that. And the more we see, the more we love. We'll recognize it has to begin. We have to let go of our own agendas, our own egos, those things that protected us as we grew, but now might be holding back our spiritual growth. The things that irritate us, annoy us, frustrate us if things don't go our way. In the words of Disney, let them go. We may search and desire God's peace, but ultimately, it can only be given, not grasped. And it's given by our good Father, who'd never want to give us anything bad anyway. And as we receive more and more of this peace, it acts as a guard against the things that seek to destroy us, the things that seek to upset us and disturb our hearts on God. Think about something often enough, and it becomes ingrained. Remember reciting your times tables at school? Same principle. Tell someone that they're stupid, bad, or wrong often enough, and they'll become it. Affirm people, and they can change. God's peace protects us from that whole erosion of self-esteem and confidence. Because that peace protects us. Because we no longer build our confidence or our esteem on what others say or do, but on the peace and love of God, which resides within us, a talisman in our hearts, beaming God's love. It surrounds us, it moves through us, and it pours out into the world. So do as Paul advises in verse 8. Practice what you've seen done or said. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Count your blessings. Think about those who walk with God with you. Practice doing the good things you see others doing. And through those things, you'll get to know that Christ is with you and within your relationships. And no matter what else, pray. And when we pray, remember that the love of God desires only what is best for us. The wisdom of God knows what is best for us. And the power of God will bring it about. Amen.
Thank you, Jackie. Let us take Jackie's words into a place of prayer and to pray for God's peace for ourselves and for the world. So let's just have a moment of quiet. And if there's something particular in Jackie's words that struck you, hold that and pray that in for a moment for yourselves. Thank you, God, that you are the God of peace. May we know your peace. I'm going to take us into our intercessions. And after each section, I'm going to, can we use the response? I'll say, Lord, in your mercy. And if you could respond, hear our prayer. And I'm just going to give a highlight, headline. And then leave a moment of silence for you to pray, particularly anything on your heart in that context, or for the silence to do the prayers for us. So let us pray. We thank you that we have a God of peace, and on this weekend we are remembering 75 years since the VJ Day, the victory in Japan, and the end of the Second World War. Lord, may we treasure that peace and not forget those that sacrificed so that we may live in peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You, Lord, we pray for peace in the world today. We remember that we don't know peace throughout the world, but there are still many conflicts. I encourage you to lift a particular nation on your heart and pray that that nation would know peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray this morning for peace in our nation, when we think of the coronavirus and the consequence, the challenging economic situation, people's losing jobs, redundancies, and the challenges in every walk of life as a result. So we pray for peace over our nation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray this morning for peace over all young people in this nation, as those that have heard their A-level results, those still waiting for GCSEs. Let us lift those that are known to us in our church community, in our town, and in the nation, as they wrestle and come to terms with those that enjoy, those that are facing disappointment. May they know God's peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, we pray for peace for ourselves, that we would know what it is to be peacemakers, but also to know God's peace in our lives, in the lives of friends and family, and to know peace amongst us as a church community. And this morning particularly, I just want to pray for Megan, a member of our community. Many of you will know Megan, who had a fall this weekend and is in hospital. And she's broken her hip. So we pray for peace and healing upon her. But we know that there are others that are unwell and sick. So we pray for peace, restoration and healing on all those that we know. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so, Lord, thank you that we can declare peace over our community and over ourselves, and that you are the God of peace. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we are now going to declare the peace of God to one another. So can I invite you to stand? And though we can't go and shake each other's hands, we can wave at each other. Yes, it would be nice even to, I don't know if it's inappropriate to flutter one's eyes to say, but there was the sign, remind us our sign, isn't it? That is the peace, I think, is signing. So let us sign the peace to one another and look around at each other. So the peace of the Lord be with you and also with you. Martha Postlethwaite, and it was sent to me purely by chance earlier this week by Helen Simpson, who sent it, and I'll allow the poem to say what it needs to say. But as we come into communion and have been in that place of peace, let these words dwell and give peace to you.
Clearing. Do not try and save the world or do anything grandiose. Instead, create a clearing in the dense forest of your life and wait there patiently. until the song that is yours alone to sing falls into your own cupped hands, and you recognize it and greet it. Only then will you be able to give yourself to this world so worthy of rescue.
We're going to come now to communion, and I hope this is a moment for you in your week that is a clearing, that we set aside the things of the world and to come and commune together and with God, to know him and to know that he knows you. So that is my prayer for us as we come to share today. So all the words will be on the screen if I get the clicker in the right time, if it doesn't wave at me, if it all goes quiet. So, the Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him, you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him, you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, for all praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Who, in the night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Am I on the right slide? Yeah. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with the bread and with the cup, we make the memorial of Christ your Son, our Lord. And we say together, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise, as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty. Renew us by your Spirit. Inspire us with your love. And unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you. Father Almighty, in songs and everlasting praise, blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. And so let us pray with confidence as our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. So with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you. Eat in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and thanksgiving. So I will come round and distribute and drop some of the bread, a piece of bread, into your hand if you outstretch your hand as I come to you. Let us say the post-communion prayer together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out into the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Amen. Well, we're just coming to the end of our morning service, and there's just one notice that I'd like us to all participate in. And we're developing a tradition with St. Andrew's and All Saints community. As many of you know, we support CAP, and members of our community are involved in leading that. And we like to celebrate when there is good news coming out of CAP. CAP, Christians Against Poverty. So here is an update before we contribute to what that celebration looks like.
Hi, this is Chris, and giving you a quick update about CAP, Christians Against Poverty. The amazing news is that one of our clients, S, has become debt-free. She's had a really rough ride these last couple of years, and I'm really pleased to say that she's in her own place now and has got a job. But most importantly right now is she's just gone debt-free. So would you join me in making a noise for S?
Absolutely wonderful news. We're trying to ring the bells or clangs and celebrate every time. So let's continue to pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work of CAP. We thank you that you set us free from our debt and that you are working through CAP to help people to be physically set free from debt in their own lives. So thank you for S, and we pray that those that CAP are still working for with will also become debt-free in due course. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So that brings our service to an end. Let me say the blessing, and then as we depart, we'll go out through the side door. And if it's stopped raining, there may be some moments outside to connect with one another. But the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you and be among us this coming week. May we know God's peace for each one of us and those that we love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Blessing. Lovely to see you. I hope to see you again next week.